Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Everything that I have everything here that we would like to accomplish today. If you recall the last time we were together, we started a topic called Who is the One That Loves Me? But the Lord is directing me to take a moment to do something special today that I know will be a benefit today. So if you came, that's great, because I know it's going to minister to you. How many of you are in a position in your life where you need to make a decision? Where maybe in the natural, you don't know what to do? Where there's a situation that is pressuring you and demanding something? And you're saying, I don't know what to say. Maybe someone says, I have everything in order and I know what I need to do. Well, if the Lord is asking me to speak this, that's because I need to speak this. And feel privileged because the Lord is telling me to do it for you. And if it doesn't apply to you, then we are a family and we share together. But on occasions, we have to take decisions and we don't know what to do. And sometimes, as pastors, we've encountered people who make precipitated decisions and they come later and say, it wasn't God. God didn't tell me to do that and I took a fast decision under pressure, in fear, because I didn't know what to do and I just needed to get out of that problem quickly. Because someone was insisting, or I took a decision based on what I saw at the moment. I've seen that various cases, and I'm speaking a body of Christ. So I believe that the answers are in the Word. And of course, the Lord and the Word don't say what work to do, what studies you need to take, whom you're going to marry, where you're going to live. But there is a marvelous promise of how we can obtain those responses. So, as children of God, it's good that we know whom to go to and the natural ways to have answers necessary. And that promise is the Spirit of God. And in most cases, He's the one we consult least, or the one we least go to. And He's the one who has the answers because they come from the Father. And it's good that we consult Him in all we do. So go over to me with Romans. Maybe you're about to make a decision. Who's going to determine something? Or maybe you're waiting to hear the answer because you feel you have that promise. Maybe there is uncertainty in your mind, in uncertainty in what's to come. But this is for you, for all of us. Romans 8, 14. Here's a promise. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We could turn that verse without changing the meaning, just to make it more understandable. All children of God are guided by the Spirit of God. Right? Do you see that? What I see is this is a promise. This is a right we have by being children of God, to be guided by the Spirit of God, guided, led. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So us, me as a daughter of God, I have the right to be guided by the Spirit of God. So here, he's letting me know that the decisions I have to make are not to be made by my own wisdom or by the situation or anything that's going on because I'm being pressured by someone, or that I can make the decisions because I am a daughter or son of God and the Spirit of God guides me, right? So we've seen in the body of Christ many problems, how they've caused distress in the lives of the children of God for making precipitated decisions, for making decisions based on fear without consulting the Lord and allowing that pressure and not consulting the Lord. Recently, a person came to the pastor and I and said, you know, that decision I made was not based on the Lord. And this person thought they thought they were because they had plans on how to grow and how to prosper. But they were wrong in that sense because they didn't consult the Lord. Because after that, that person came into a financial struggle. And that person recognized it wasn't God. It was my desire and what I wanted to do. And I didn't necessarily have that green light from the Lord. And we don't want that. We want to avoid that. And our spiritual growth, we are going to encounter ways, things we don't know what to do. But here is a promise. But you know what happens? We grow desperate because we don't receive it quickly. And it's not that God doesn't talk to us and give us the answer, but we're just so disturbed by everything and we follow the voice of the wife or the husband, or if someone isn't in the same spirit, there is a pressure and a fear, and someone says, I'm praying, and they start to make precipitated decisions just to make the husband or the wife quiet. Because he wanted this or she wanted that. And we come into problems because we didn't hear the Lord and heard someone else. And we go to someone else who went through that. And it's not wrong to ask for advice. But if the advice isn't coming from the Lord, and we come back to, if it's not something the Lord told us, we're going to fail. And it may come that we come into more problems. Does God want us to be in that? No. He wants us to have the best. He wants to guide us. He wants to tell us right, left, red, green, because that's what He established. And He wants us to avoid problems. But we come into problems because we do it quickly and we want to do it now. And beside that, we don't take the time to pray and meditate the Word to see what's next. We want things now, especially when there is a date of limit, when it's the end of the month and you don't have enough, and they called you and they told you, you need to do it now. Anything that causes pressure is not from the Lord. And if you ask yourself, is that deadline? What did I do in that time frame? They tell you, you have until this day. Did you continue your life, or did you pray and really take time from the Lord? And that time frame came, and you said, you know what? Instead of doing this, why didn't I pray? Why didn't I meditate the Word? Why? You notice that there's always a reason, and it's never God. And we want the Lord to respond to us now. And He already responded. It's already in our spirit here. But we don't understand it in our mind because we're just so pressured by the dates, by what's coming. So when we're in fear, we can't trust the Lord. Because faith and fear don't mix. And generally, fear triumphs over faith, and not because faith isn't powerful, but we're so focused in what we're and what's going on that it takes us, it causes us to go and focus on the Word because we're really thinking about the deadline, the amount, and the problem. when we could have taken the time to really meditate the word. And we spend and beautiful opportunities watching a movie or doing something else, and we condemn ourselves by saying, oh, I should have prayed. But time has gone, and that opportunity has left. And I'm saying all of this because I want us to understand that God is not the one it's not at fault. He wants us to listen because He's always speaking to us. And it's written there. And if you go to verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. But you need to remember, we need to shred the word and see it meticulously so that we can see the revelation where we sometimes fail because we read something or we already know the verse. We just run through it. We know it by memory and run through it. The Spirit Himself bears witness. Stop there. He doesn't only give witness that we are children of God. He gives witness. Because if He's giving testimony that I am a child of God, so the moment I was born again, I was made in the Spirit, the image of the Lord, and I need to renew my mind. And it's a process. But now, there is a spiritual connection, supernatural connection. It's not only giving me testimony that I am a child of God, but it also gives testimony of His Word, of the guidance of the Lord. 14, verse 14 and 16 are together, are united, because everyone that is led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And we can change it, remember? Everyone who is son of God, these are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit Himself bears witness, gives them testimony and witness. And that witness or testimony, the best way I can put it is a knowing. You know this is from God. It's a conviction. It's a better word. A conviction. When we are guided by the Spirit, and when the Spirit tells us to do something, there is a conviction that nothing will make us change unless we allow it in our mind. There is a conviction. Remember, the pastor makes a lot of emphasis on, did the Lord tell you? Did the Lord tell you to do that? No, well, I'm going to this place and this place. Did the Lord tell you? Right? When the Lord tells you, did the Lord guide you? Is the Lord giving you testimony on that? Is there a conviction in your heart or is it in your mind? Is it by what's going on for that situation or the problems you're in? Or sometimes that we cause ourselves. You know, even though sometimes we come into bad decisions, even then, when there is a true repentance in our hearts, He restores that. He comes in and helps us. He's so loving that He wants to help us. And I want you to understand that this is something very serious. And that if we go into the teaching, as in fact, this is what the Lord wants us to see. Amen? If time took us somewhere else, this is the important part. So, maybe we've made mistakes. We've failed in hearing the voice of God. But if we repent, He'll be there to restore. But we insist on living that same lifestyle, and we don't change anything, we come into that insanity or just craziness because you want to see different results but doing the same thing daily. It's impossible when you do the same. The only thing that would change if you continue doing the same is that if you continue spending time in the Word and prayer and meditating, there will be a change because there will be a spiritual growth. But generally, when someone does the same, it rarely has to do with the things of God, right? It's something with natural things, with other occupancy. And then we want to auto-justify ourselves because we're very busy. I'm busy. It's because I'm busy. It's because of this. It's because of that. But analyze, right now you're in this situation because it's an attack from the devil, or because you have sowed for where you are now. And if it's an attack from the devil, it's temporary. Because you can literally grab yourself by these promises saying, the Lord will guide me how to get out of this situation. And if it's not an attack from the devil, and it's because of bad decisions, the Spirit of God gives you these promises so you can be guided and leave that problem. So in both places, the solution is God. If we insist in making bad decisions, not being guided by the Spirit, that's what we're going to harvest. But what gives me joy, motivates me, pushes me, and exhorts me is that seeing that the Spirit Himself will give spirit to me of what God wants. And the only thing I have to do is spend time with the Lord. Wow. And how does the devil, and he knows that because he's a spiritual being, a bad spiritual being, but spiritual, he knows the spiritual laws. And he knows that the more time we spend in the Word and develop our faith in hearing the Word, more he will attack it. More he'll bring occasions to be distracted. More distractions to not have time. Amen? Jesus said something tremendous in the to the disciples here on earth. John 16, verse 7. And right now we're going to do something that I know will be a benefit to all of us. And while you look for that, I want to ask you for something. How many of you have been in a difficult decision that you need to make a choice, a decision? Raise your hands. I want to see you. And it's not to put you in public, but it's just so that we know that the Lord wants us to make the best decisions. And it looks like something, it's never changing. It's never going to change. And the more time you spend with the Lord, worse things become. And things are never as we want them. And the enemy brings condemnation and discouragement. Why do I pray? The Lord didn't answer me. He did answer. But we were so focused on something else that we didn't hear His voice. Because when we prayed, we did it in the flesh. Well, how am I going to pray in the flesh? Oh yeah, there's people that pray in the flesh. They pray in fear. Tell me if it's not flesh. It's in feelings. They pray in anger, maybe. There is no faith there. If they pray, there's some that don't even pray. They don't spend time. So maybe not even one or the other. And the Lord tells us something. John 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go. Remember, Jesus was here with the disciples here, and they saw everything He did. They saw how He healed, how He brought freedom to the ones who were tied and had the boldness to speak. They saw Jesus. How Jesus separated and so He could go pray. The disciples and the apostles saw Jesus. When Jesus was here, they saw the Spirit in all of it. Only Him and the apostles saw Jesus how he conducted himself, how he behaved, how he developed his relationship with the Father. Jesus was God then, in the flesh. And not because Jesus was God in the flesh, he behaved as a spiritual being. He behaved as a mortal man. He was giving them the best example possible. And he said, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, because when I leave, the wholeness that is in me will come to live in you. And if I don't leave, it won't come. Because there needs to be a sacrifice on the cross. The plan of redemption needs to be completed so that promise can come. And while I remain here, I'm going to be the only one who has access to this power, to this wholeness. So it's to your advantage that I go. Because if I don't go, the counselor, he's not speaking about a thing, he's speaking about a person, won't come to us. But if I leave, he will come. Who is that counselor? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one we see in Romans, is the one who guides us and brings testimony to our spirit. He's the one who testifies the things of God in us. What does it mean to give testimony or a witness? What do we understand when we say a witness? Maybe in court you've seen, in TV, movies, the witnesses will come and witness. What are they going to witness? What they saw or what they didn't see. What they heard or what they didn't hear. What they were in front of or did not. Exactly. That's exactly what the Spirit comes and does in us. He comes and witnesses. And I'm just paraphrasing. When the Spirit comes, he's not going to speak whatever he wants. He's going to speak whatever the Lord tells him, God wants him to speak. What he is being witness of is what God says. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of Christ. They've been together for an eternity. And everything that the Father left written in the written word, the Holy Spirit heard it and gave it to mortal men. The Bible was written by mortal men. Of course, because God is a spiritual person. And he needed conducts and vehicles so they could write and leave written what he has established. The Holy Spirit heard it. Jesus put it into action. And they left it written so that in this time, you and I could understand that the Holy Spirit was present and witness what God the Father established and now gives witness to us. That's why when he gives testimony to us, he does it in line of the word. That's why when we go to the word, Lord, what do? You are my guide. And through the Holy Spirit, you guide me, you correct me, you tell me what to do. And there will be a testimony in your spirit of, yes, buy that house. Or, no, it's not this one. Or, no, don't leave yet. Don't leave the city yet. Remember when the Lord Jesus in the book of Acts, well, the apostles were speaking, and he spoke, don't leave until you receive the power. And then you will be my witnesses in the world. Remember? Until you receive the guidance until you receive the one who is going to help them give testimony to Jesus. They couldn't leave without receiving that power. Jesus promised. He promised the comforter, the guidance, the direction. He promised us. Go over to verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you unto all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. From whom does He hear? From the Father. He is the one who seeks our hearts. He knows what's in our heart. That's why He wants to guide us through the Holy Spirit. Because through the Holy Spirit, God the Father, it's not that house. It's not that job. Don't do that. Wait. What He hears from the Father, He will give witness to us. Years ago, I want to see if I can remember. I want to see if I can remember dates. And the pastor always tells me that I mix dates around. But the good thing is that it's always, in the end, the good thing. Anthony had been born, Summer was born, and so was Dida. That was around 2006, 2007. And we didn't fit in the house we lived in. And the pastor said, you know what, we need a bigger house. The kids are getting older. We have three now. So we began searching for a house. And there was a house near to where we live now that was in sale. But the person who had that house could not keep paying the mortgage. He was getting a divorce. And he just wanted to get rid of the house. He didn't ask for a large amount of money and the people who were going to live there just to keep paying mortgage. And the pastor and I saw it. And the pastor had always wanted a space for outside the city because he by then had his horse. And I'm trying to make the story short. And we had the house in the city, but we couldn't have it. So the situation was starting to get pressurized. Well, we came across that business where they would rent the stables to where they could have the horse, and we could pay a certain amount. And we saw that place because back when we went to Wilcox, when we went to Wilcox every Friday, we would pass that spot and say, yeah, we could have the horse here. There's space in that moment, the house that was available. And in that time, we were about to sign the paperwork so that house could be passed over to us outside the city, a big lot. And we were about to sign. I had an impression, just a weight in my heart, in my spirit. And I could not. And I was about to sign. And the pastor was not able to go. So everything was under my name. And I stepped outside of that notary's office. And I told him, my love, it's not that house. The Lord has something better for us. They said, but we are about to run out through our renter's lease. And it was around September, I want to say. And in November, our contract expired. So we didn't have a lot of time. And we had a deadline. And we were seeking for a new place, and we didn't want to renew the lease because we also needed a space for the horse. And I told him, it's not here. I know it's not here. And he said, well, okay. Well, don't sign it. And when I decided not to sign, I felt I could breathe because there was a pressure. Because, yes, we need to leave this house, but that the pressure of, no, it's not here, was bigger. And at the same time, my mind said, yeah, our house is going to be much bigger. We're going to have bedrooms. And outside of the city where my husband wants it, nope. I went home and I said, Lord, I give you thanks because I know you have something better for me. And I'm not going to enter in desperation. I know you have a specific place for us. Well, a few weeks later, just to make everything small, we came into the ranch where we are now. And a few time after, the pastor realized that the woman in charge of that was a believer and in that time had been a partner with Kenneth Copeland for years. And time passed by, and he told us we didn't have to pay rent. We didn't have to pay the stables because by then we had another horse. And to fast forward now, all of that land now was given to us. If we would have signed that paperwork, it looked exactly what we wanted, very nice. If we would have signed it, we would have stopped the Lord's plan. Because we took the time to pray. Because we took the time to dedicate the Lord. Not because something is under pressure, it doesn't mean you have to make a decision. What is the Lord telling you? That's what's important. What is what we have to do? How many debts have you, children of God, come into because of precipitated decisions? Or by being in anger, or to have the husband or the wife happy? Look, if you have to make the wrong decisions to have the person happy, you know what? Eventually, that person will never be happy, will never be satisfied, because the real satisfaction comes from the Lord. I wanted to move out from the house. It was so small and we didn't fit. And it had huge trees. And when it rained, it was full of mosquitoes. And there were spiders and a bunch of weird stuff. And we were there comfortably. Don't misunderstand me. But it was time to move. We knew it was time to grow and keep moving. But we know that just because we know, it doesn't mean we have to. And we saw when Anthony was really small, he had rashes and they were liquid. And I told the pastor, and I told him, my love, the spiders are biting Anthony. Look at it. And his skin was warm and hot. And he was so small. No. And it was the mosquitoes that were biting him, not even spiders. He was just allergic to them. And I wanted to leave that place because weird things were biting my son. There was a difficult situation. We wanted to move. But the Lord is so faithful when we wait in Him. He has better things for us. Yeah, I told my husband. He knew it, but he didn't take me to any place just so I could be calm because of our baby. I had to set my part and let the Lord guide us. And in the end, it was me who received that conviction. You notice that? Because the real satisfaction comes from the Lord. He is the one that fills everything and anything. It's not the house, it's not the land or the house or the business. It's not even the bank account how it is now. It's the Lord Jesus. When we trust Him, He brings those manifestations from when we least expect them. Because He's so faithful, He guides us and directs us when we decide to trust Him. Amen? When the Spirit of truth comes, He will bring witness because He won't bring His own testimony. First, He's going to tell us what we hear from the Father, and He's going to tell us the things to come. And He said, no, not yet, because something marvelous was coming. And I told the pastor, the Lord has something better for us. He let me know there is something better. And when we wait on the Lord, the best things happen. When we trust Him, the best things happen. So don't give up. Maybe right now you are in a difficult situation or under pressure. And you ask yourselves, did the Lord tell me to do what I'm going to do? What is the Lord telling me to do? Take time to pray. What is unknown to us always brings some kind of uncertainty. Because we're creatures of habit. When it's years of doing the same thing, we want everything to be solved the same way everything else is. But it's not necessarily like that. Because the Spirit of God will give witness to us. Maybe one thing, He's going to make it different to how He managed the other thing. He wants to guide us. And sometimes we'll say, I've already tried this and this and this. Maybe it's not that way. It's not in your own strength. That's why the Lord warns us to not trust ourselves, but only Him. We want to do the same, and we want to expect different results. No, the principle is the same, faith, but the direction is different because it comes from the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So I want to, for this afternoon, seeing these promises, that you and I pray. We're going to pray and give thanks to the Lord because He guides us. He directs us. We're going to shut the voice of the enemy down. We're going to toss off all weight that is causing pressure. Right now, don't see your bank account. Don't see the diagnostic that the doctor gave you. Don't even look at the solutions you've even set for yourself. Right now, we're going to pray and believe by faith that we are guided by the Spirit of God because it's a promise and a legal right we have. And we're going to believe by faith that we receive and we hear the voice of God. Are you in agreement with this? And that we're not going to allow anything to pressure us or take precipitated decisions until we hear and are guided from the Lord. It doesn't matter how pressuring the situation is. What is the Lord telling you to do? And if you're going to push yourself to believe Him. Many times I've encountered this, and He's always faithful. A few months ago, there was a situation, a pressurizing situation in the ministry. And it was a Friday, I remember. And I was listening to one of the mentors the pastor and I listened to. And he was speaking about believing the Lord, about seed and sowing and producing and sowing the best seed we have in that moment and everything with the Bible and established and written. And I was listening and I was saying, Lord, how do your children? It looks like they don't struggle. And here I'm struggling with this. And that's all I said. And I continued listening. I sowed the best seed I had in that moment. You want me to tell you how much? Yes, Pastor, tell us. With faith and with faith and with strength in me, I sowed $100. I took my phone and I spoke the word over that seed. And I said, Lord, every seed produces according its genre. I sow this seed to receive a financial harvest. And I believe that you supply all our needs according to your glories and riches in Jesus. And I give thanks because the seed does not return empty. I sow it with joy and faith. And I don't allow any faith, any lack of faith, and I sent it. And I kept praising the Lord and giving thanks and blessing my seed. And I had a wonderful weekend, and Sunday came and Monday came. And Monday, out of nowhere, there was one offering of $1,000. And right now you say, what's $1,000? But in that moment, it's exactly what we needed to supply what we needed to supply. Tell me if that seed didn't come back abundantly. But what released the harvest of that is the faith I released to sow it. Because it was in an effort. But sometimes we want to hold it. But what if I don't have enough? When the Lord is waiting for us to let it go, so that when our own obedience, we open that channel the Lord needed to manifest that big promise. Well, yes, the Lord is powerful to make things bigger that we don't see or understand, according to the power that acts upon us. And what's that power? Faith. I could have stayed with that money. And many times, similar things have happened. Many times. Because we've decided to believe the Lord. Amen? Because this works. Because it works. I was guided. I was directed to the Lord telling me what to sow, how to sow it, and how to speak. And I decided to believe the Lord. Amen? And what happens with many children of God is when they have a need, they hold back what they have because they might not have enough. Because I have to pay this without realizing that we're holding the doors closed. So that blessing doesn't flow then. Because I need to pay, I need to pay, I need to pay. Everyone needs to pay. But who knows our needs better than anyone? The Lord. And who knows the laws of sowing and harvest? The Lord. So who has to believe more? Us. It's us. Decide to believe the Lord. Don't hold back. Let it go. So that generosity in you can flow the blessing of the Lord. But it's, if it's those $5, it's those $5 that are going to multiply. All of this I need to give? I'm tithe? No, you don't have to. Wow. All of this I can give? And what's remaining to come? You see the difference of mentality? All of this and glory to God. When before I gave $2 of tithe and 50 cents and 50 cents of offering. Or when we say, only this of tithe right now. But it's just a step to more and more and more. Amen? Don't hold back. Because the Lord has greater things. What situation are you encountering in your lives? He knows it, and He tells us to cast all anxiety on Him because He takes care of us. He is our caretaker. He wants to take care of us. He wants us to trust Him. Don't live in a life of routine every day, every day, every day, the same, the same, the same. The same, the same. And we insert a little bit of time for the Lord after everything we had to do. That's not how the lifestyle of a believer is. The life of a believer is God first, God in the middle, and God last. And in the middle is the remaining of what we have to do. And then we'll see genuine direction. There will be discipline because we do have things to do. But when we see all the Lord gives us, we say, nope, my time is the Lord's. Let's be on our feet and we're going to cast all anxiety on Him and we're going to believe that we receive a direction. We're going to pray a few minutes in the Spirit. Because when we pray in other tongues, we don't pray to man, but God. So don't understand when you speak maybe in tongues, you'll be saying the situation you're encountering, but you're also preparing the land to hear from the Lord because we're shutting our mind off. So what we pray in the Spirit, we receive in the Spirit, and then our mind will understand it as a testimony from the Lord. Remember, the Spirit of God gives testimony. And we're going to cast all anxiety onto Him. We're going to pray in the Spirit. And we're going to believe by faith that we have received the direction and the answer of what we have to do. And there should be no... And the answer of God is now. So we need to quiet our mouth. Apart yourself some time in home. Remove yourself from the knowledge you know of things. We've told you before that one of the doctors we have in the congregation, and he told us, you know, Pastor, there was times that I struggled to believe and to have faith of the healings because I immediately compared them to science. So his mind was failing him in that sense. And especially that time who works with numbers, who administer their home, they see the numbers, if they're in the red or in the black, and they go, oh my gosh. It's difficult for them to believe in sowing and harvest. So right now, we're just relieving ourselves. Lord, we give you thanks. We come to praise you and worship you and exalt you, giving you thanks for the promises we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our guide, who makes things known, who gives testimony to our spirit. Receive, Lord, exalted from us and worship to you because we do it from our heart. We cast out all anxiety. We cast it upon you, Lord, because you take care of us. And the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding, all knowledge, governs our heart and our feelings and our mind now in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit and give thanks. The apostle said, good, give thanks. Yes, tu kumba prayas, 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 tu
estundo coroma frasto com maria casta catequia rama frasto. Estundo coro praia estanda quire ma praia estu coro praia snineco. Endo coro coroma praia sundo coroma. Adlo coroma praia sundo quire ma praia sun la quiata quiero combo praia. Endo coro ma fraia, sundo coro ma fraia, stunchi allaca. Estundo coro ma fras, tu coro pa praia, snienlaca. Estundo coro ma fraia, stucan la chiarama. Endo colum ma praia, stichiera costum pa pra.
We put aside our feelings, we put aside everything that is in the natural, assaulting us and making us weary. I cancel all influence from the devil in the minds of your children, Father. I cancel all influence. I speak a supernatural cancellation in their mind, and the Spirit of God takes control over our thoughts so that we could hear and see the guidance and have that inner witness in our spirit of what we need to do. That impression, that supernatural impression, that supernatural conviction in our heart that takes control over our mind. I give thanks that you speak to your children and give direction, and we receive by faith that direction. We give you thanks because those of us who are children of God are guided by the Holy Spirit. We receive that guide. We receive that direction and instruction. Thank you, Father. You are good. You who lives in the worship and praise, we receive from you for the supernatural sharing of the Holy Spirit. We believe. Decide to believe in you, decide to trust you, and it is you that guide us, not problems, not difficult situations, not deadlines. It is you, Father. We open doors, supernatural power, that you could speak to us and treat with us. Our mind shuts down, and the Spirit of God speaks, and we hear your voice. We hear it. Keep praying.
Stunga karama fra stukom papraya stukom papla. Sundo koroma fraya stukom paplaya ka. Stundo koroma fra stukoroma fraya stuko. Sundo koroma fra stakarama. Yanda kondo koroma playa stukom papla. Un la karama praya stukom papraya stuk. Sundo coro mafras tu condo quiera camba pra. Sundo coro mafras tu coro ma playa.
Say with me, Father. I decide to believe you. I decide to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Not by pressure, nor by decisions that I have taken. I am guided by the Spirit of God, and I give thanks that by faith I receive direction. I'm not guided by circumstances. I'm not guided by money. I'm guided by the Spirit of God. And I resist, I refuse to make decisions guided by pressure, based on by the enemy. I am guided by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. Because you have promised that I am guided by the Holy Spirit. I speak your peace now over me. No arm against me will prosper. Thank you, Father.
We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Raise your hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your direction. I decide to walk in the peace of the Lord. I decide to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I decide based on your words. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give thanks. We love you, Father, and we redeem our strength to you. We render our knowledge to you. And if we have made decisions in the wrong, we repent in front of you. And then comes restoration. You have promised to restore us in double fold. We believe in you and decide to believe you. And we don't believe just the circumstances, but what your word says. Established it is. It is done. You are our guide. You are the one that guides us. We bless you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Thank you for your peace. I speak peace now or over each and one of you. I speak peace. I speak peace. The peace of the Lord over everyone. I the peace of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your light, we see the light. We are at peace. We are in stillness. We enter in ease, Lord. Thank you for your word that gives testimony to our spirit of what you are saying we need to do. We believe we receive it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Received? You believe that you receive? Thank you, Lord. The enemy can't against us. He has no authority against us. The Lord wants for us to be guided to decide to believe him. It's time, right? And decide to believe what his word says. Decide to believe and act on it and behave on it. Why are we making decisions just because we live in the natural world? What does the Lord say? What promise is there available for us? Is it really there for us? Has it really been there? Where there is no alternative, what I consider I need to do? Have I really maintained myself in that promise? Have I really gone to the Bible and seen what I need to do? I sat down with my husband or my wife, with my kids who understand, and we prayed, and there's no solution. How many of you have done that? Not 100%. There's always a glitch there. Something failing there, not the promise. It was us who came into desperation. And this morning, a morning that you woke up deciding to believe the Lord, and all the morning you were praising and worshiping, and the next morning came and you were, you know why? Because feelings are volatile. And then the receipts came, the bills, the phone, the electricity, the debt, and the promise. Where was the promise? No more. The Lord has the answers. This last week, we did some legal situations. And at the moment, we didn't have good news. And we didn't have, at the moment, this is not the last word. There is always a solution. There is always a solution. But it's your perspective. There's always a solution for all. What we have to do is to lose fear to the Lord. That's what we need to do. Because when bad news comes, we come into fear. When a bad diagnostic comes, we come into fear. But when we learn to lose fear, we're going to see clearly what the word says. And we're going to learn to be true believers. Amen? And how do I lose fear? Go to the promises. Spend time on the promises. More than 700 promises? And how many do we meditate in? Sometimes not even one. And the Lord left the book full of promises. But we want it now. Because when everything was okay, we didn't even remember the Lord. When everything was okay, remember the Lord and meditate. So when bad time comes, you can present defense. Because we're in a fallen world. And the enemy will make sure to bring things. And the Lord said, in the world, you're going to have afflictions and have attacks. And the thing he'll attack the most is your finances, because he does not want you to be a blessing. But trust, because I left the laws of sowing and harvest, so that when you act on them, the blessing will come into motion for your favor. Don't put your attention to what you know or what you understand in the natural, because all the natural is temporary. Even your knowledge is temporary in the natural. But when we hang on to the knowledge of the Word, it overpasses what you know. The kingdom of God doesn't make sense in the natural. That's why the knowledge we can have, not doctors or any profession that you have, it's null. It has no value. And all the hours you studied, and the degree that is on my wall, and when the kingdom of God cancels it, because when a doctor needs to be healed, his title and his degree isn't going to heal him. The Word of God will. When an accountant sees in his own house that he's not doing well, his degree isn't going to help in the problem. The laws of sowing and harvest will. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you thankful for that? That we don't need to trust ourselves, but only the Lord. In the Lord. Glory to God. He's so good with us. And he's so marvelous. He decided to believe him. We're almost at the end of the year. Yeah, maybe some months remain, but they go by fast. And I believe that the Lord still wants to show his truth and his fidelity, but he needs to have our trust, because he is powerful and sovereign. And when we don't release those spiritual laws, he cannot, because he can't violate his own laws. He cannot manifest himself in our lives. So when we open that blessing, when we open that, meditate in the Word and believe the Lord, and you'll see how the Lord will guide you step by step, step by step. And the more time you spend in the Word, the less problems you'll have. Amen? Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. True. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again. And we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.